Now on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to do the Rashi again. Last time we were left without the Rashi. In the middle of the Rashi was a hard Rashi, so I'm going to try to sort of go through it again. The Gemara is talking about here that different matters. The Gemara quoted Ula. Ula said that there are three items that the rabbis allowed, even though they wouldn't allow it on its own, but only because they were worried because of the end. Like in this case, by Chol, we're talking about on Yontev, they allowed you to do certain things because they wanted in the end because they wanted you to do it in the beginning. They were worried that if they're not going to allow you at the end, you might not do it. And the Gemara brings down all the different things that they allowed. And then we have one more statement. And this is a statement, Rechove Omer Rav Yehuda. Rechava said name Rabbi Yehuda. We'll go back to this Rashi, which we got stuck, but first, this Rashi is talking about why it says Rabbi Yehuda, and not, as usual, Rav Yehuda. That's going to go. Let's first see what he says, and then we'll go back to the Rashi, saying, Rechava said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So, here we have a halacha that, generally speaking, people who are not religious and they are not careful with impurity, which means when they're impure, they touch the food. So their food is always suspected of being tamei. Maybe it's not. Is not fit to eat it as clean food. You know, if you want to eat your food clean or for truma, for other things, we don't normally eat food that an amharis, a non-chaver, non-religious, that he touched, because he might be tamei. He may have made the food tummy, so we don't want to eat it. However, during the holidays, when everybody comes to the Beis HaMikdash for the Aliyah L'Regel in Yerushalayim, the Chachamim made a special allowance, and they said, during the holiday, we are not going to worry that maybe the person touching it is tummy. So let's say you have a store that sells only pure, but in the store come in all kinds of people. So we're not going to worry that maybe an Amoritz walked in and he touched it. We're going to say it's okay during the holiday. Why? The Chachamim did not want to shame them in the such a situation, in a public situation, and they said that they're going to allow it. The question becomes, what happens with that food that was left over after Yom Tov? So they touch some things in the store. Is the pshat that there is no this is only a rabbinic? The rabbis were goyzer it because they were extra machmir. That wasn't strictly the halacha. We don't have to technically suspect on our own. It's only because the chachamim were machmir. So do we say that for Yontev the chachamim aren't machmir? And therefore what's left over in the store after Yontev, the storekeeper can go and sell as usual. He doesn't consider it that it was touched. It doesn't matter because it didn't apply. Nothing happened. Or should we say, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon, or should we say, no, that during Yom Tov, the Chachamim did not, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, no, the Chachamim said you're not allowed to, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, only at the time of Yom Tov. No, no, the Rabbanon say it only applies for the time of Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he can just go ahead. Let's look at it inside. I'm going to get back to this previous Rashi. Rechava Omar Rabbi Yehuda. He comes up with a new thing. Why do the Chachamim allow to do something in the beginning because of the end? So, what is the case over here? Af ha-peseya chavisoy. Even one who opens the barrel. Or the next case is umaschil bi'isose al gav haregel, and he starts a dough on the back of the yontav, meaning during yontav. Rashi explains, what does it mean a pesechas chaviso? Chovir. Chovir is a name for a religious person who we know who's been established that he is religious. It's called a chavir, a friend, a buddy. Kishehischil limkoir yenoi. When he starts to sell his wine, so he opens up the barrel, he starts to sell the wine. Oi, or he starts, kikroi, he opens up the loaf, he does it le'oile regolim beregel. For the people that are oile regel during the holidays, he opens up, starts up, he's going to sell. Umash mishi bo yad hakoil. And everybody is, you know, in the store, everybody's touching the wine, they're touching the loaf, the dough. Now, so what happens? Sound like this. Betumas am ha'oretz beregel tahira kol yibayis haregel. The tuma of an am ha'oretz is clean during the entire days of the festival. So during the festival, all of the wine and the loaf is all tohir. Ubamesh nisha lachar haregel, that which is left after the Yom Tov, nechleku, in other words, what happens with the wine and the loaf that was left for after Yom Tov? So there is a machloikis, nechleku Rabbi Yehuda v'chachomim, bepedik chomer b'kodesh. There is a machloikis in Rabbi Yehuda v'chachomim, in the chapter chomer b'kodesh, chagiget avchavo. Rabbi Yehuda oimer yigmoir v'kareno lechaverim. He says that he can continue and sell it to chaverim. In other words, even though it's after Yom Tov, we're still not going to apply any prohibition against this wine and against the loaf because he touched it. You can continue and sell it to chaverim, to people who are careful. You can sell it to them. Ulchol adam, to every person. However, b'yizoyer shelo yiga am ha'aretz oid. He has to be careful that an am ha'aretz shouldn't touch it again. Because now if he's going to touch it, not anymore during Yom Tov. So he has to be careful. But he can continue selling it as if it's not been touched. That wine and that dough. Chachamim emrim, the Chachamim say, lo yigmer. The lo yimkerem. He should not finish the barrel and not sell the dough. Right? Mishum de nitmas beregel b'magam ha'oretz, because during the festival it became tamei with the touching of the am ha'oretz. The am ha'oretz made it tamei. Unhi dechol yemois haregel ishtarohi. Shaloi levayshom. So although during the days of the Yom Tov it was permitted so as not to embarrass them. Miu la'achar haregel chol lemafreya. But after the Yom Tov, it applies retroactively. When they touched it during Yom Tov, it didn't apply. But what is left over, it's still they touched it. And they made it tame. And now after Yom Tov, we can't use it. So either the Chachamim allowed it totally, so it's as if they didn't touch it, or we don't have a tumah at all. Or they just exempted for the duration of Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, it comes back to the status and you can't sell it as normal. So Vashmi'in on Rechava, and Rechava is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda le'amar yigmoir. The only reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that he should finish, that he allows him, Ela mishum tchilosum, it's because of the beginning, which means if you're not going to allow him to, he's not going to do it, he's not going to start it from the beginning. So in order to make sure, the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to finish, it's because he's worried if you're not going to let them the gzeira away altogether after Yom Tov, might not want to start. So therefore, the Chachamim said you can start. That's what the Rechava said. So this is another case that we see that the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Rabban, they don't allow you, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you, and he says the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to finish selling it after the Yom Tov, because if they don't allow you, then you won't open it up and you won't do it on Yom Tov. Okay, so that's the case. Now let's go back to the Rashi's, what is Rashi bothered over here, that this whole Rashi already. Rashi is bothered, in all of the Gemara, we call him Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, without a Yud. The people that were in Babel, they were Amoraim, they weren't Tanoim. This is a little bit strange that Rechava Omar, he said name of Rabbi Yehuda. So why does it say Rabbi Yehuda? So, I mean, there's a lot in Tosfos, there's a lot of in different Gemaras, but Rashi brings down that Yesh Mefarshim, some people want to say that the reason he said Rabbi Yehuda, because Sofik Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda Nisio, Sofik Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rechava said it, and he wasn't sure he said in the name, but he wasn't sure if Rabbi Yehuda said it or Rabbi Yehuda said it. So he wrote Rabbi Yehuda. What I don't understand, is why do they say that he wasn't sure? Why don't they say just that Rechava said it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Danosi? They don't have, why are they saying that he wasn't sure and therefore he quoted it in such a way? Why doesn't we just say that he said the name of Rabbi Yehuda? Look at Rashi's question. Rashi says it couldn't be Rabbi Yehuda Anosi. This Rabbi Yehuda isn't talking about the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, not talking about the Rebbe, but he's talking about the Rabbi Yehuda de Amoyre. Bani Oimer, Rashi says, I disagree with that Meforshim, that Loi Ro'o Rechava as Rabbi Yehuda Nisio. Rechava never saw the Nosi Rabbi Yehuda. The home in Pumpadisa Habe. He was in Babylonia, he was in Pumpadisa. And the Leimot Sinu Sha'olo Le'eretz Yisrael. We don't find that he ever made it up to Eretz Yisrael. So, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was a Nosi in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Tana. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He never went to Eretz Yisrael. How could he say it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda? That's Rashi's first question. First point. Ba'oid, Rashi has another point. Ki amrinon ba'almo, d'dayik v'gomer shmaitze mepume drabi. Not sure where this Ba'alma is, because let me see. I'm not sure. I gotta find where this Ba'alma, but it seems like we're saying about that he was very particularly, and he heard the statement of the mouth of his teacher. In other words, he would say everything exactly like Rechava of Pumpadisa, which means that Rechava de Pumpadisa was very particular, and he would always say exactly as he heard it from his teacher. So that means that he's reliable, that he was very precise, and he learned it from his teacher, just like Rachav of Pupadiso, who was very medayik. That's the Gemara talks about him. But if it is true that he didn't know, and he still... Habanlon lemeimor, so Rashi says we should have said the Gemara, not only that he was medayik, that he said exactly that filus sveika de gabri goris, even when there was a question who the author is, he also learned it. So that would be a point to rely on. Because you see, Kedamrin b'Rabbi Yehuda b'Kol Shochtim, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yehuda there in Chulin Chesom at Beis. So the Gemara does say over there that he's so reliable. He says, "Anom Rabbi Yehuda k'Amrina." The Gemara says there, "Da filu sveike de gavre goris." He even taught you. He didn't just say a statement. He just said maybe this one. The Gemara says, "The Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba." Rav Yehuda said, "In the name of Rabbi, Sofik Mishmei the Rav, Sofik Mishmei Shmuel." I'm not sure if he said it in the name of Rav, or he said it in the name of Shmuel. So you see, he wouldn't say a statement without exactly telling you who is the one that might have said it. So when the Gemara wants to praise Rechava, that he gave over the name exactly, he should have said, not only does he say exactly, he says, even gives the exact name. If we should say that it says here Rabbi Yehuda, because he wasn't sure, Kedamrim Rabbi Yehuda v'kel shachtin. So I think that's the pshat here. I gotta find the place where the Gemara says that I think it says somewhere that. That's what Rashi says, I think. But Rashi has a different interpretation. Rashi says, this is not Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, it couldn't be. It seems to me, Mishum Rabbi Muvak Hoyo. He was his permanent Rev. Rav Yehuda was his permanent Rebbe. So he called him Rebbe, my Rebbe. He wanted to make sure that everybody associates him as my Rebbe. It's not like the title Rav or Rebbe so and so, but Rebbe, my Rebbe. He wouldn't learn from every other. Havalekoyre Rabbi, my Rebbe. It's not the title of call him Rav, call him Rebbe, but call him Rebbe, my Rebbe. The loynis sapke with Rabbi Yehuda Achrina. So to make sure, Rabbi Yehuda, my Rabbi Yehuda, don't think it's another Rabbi Yehuda, it's my Rabbi Yehuda. But it's talking about Rabbi Yehuda, and he was in Pumbedisa. That's what Rashi came up to tell us over here. Again, more or less, I think this is what Rashi's saying over here.
Could it have just been a transcription problem?
Huh?
Could it have just been a transcription problem? Yeah, that these things were handwritten by people all over the place. Yeah, that the yud was just a mistake of one of the people who was writing.
Oh, no, but it doesn't, no. It's not a girsa. It just seems like that. No, no. I don't know if the problem is that it says Rabbi, and there is possible that this Rabbi means Rabbi Yehuda Nossi. So first of all, according to Rashi, it means that he had to meet him. Can he say in name of Rabbi Yehuda Nossi? Like, it doesn't say any other middle person here, so it means that he spoke directly with Rabbi Yehuda Nossi. But the other thing I don't understand, if the whole issue is Rabbi, why not say it to Rabbi Yehuda Nossi? Okay, we have a problem. So why is a suffix better than just saying that the Chava Omar to say Rabbi Yehuda Nossi? What do we gain if we're trying to explain the word Rebbe, right? So why say it was a suffix whether it was him or not? I don't have it clear, I have to admit. I have to still look up. Toysha speaks about it over here. Also, in the other Gemara, Toysha brings down, Rashi brings it down over there.
It could be a transcription problem, because yeah, according to this, it had to be Rabbi Yehuda. It couldn't have been Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So,
yeah, but the question is, why did he write Rabbi? But okay, maybe if we didn't have a problem, you would say it's a mistake. But we have a good answer. Okay, so now we're going to go back to question. Ula came up with three things, and Chava came up with a fourth things, and the Gemara is going to question all of them. Why did we need to write them, spell them out again? It seems like from the Mishnah, we already have all these things already learned, and we don't need a Mishnah to teach us those halachas. And that's the Gemara we're going to deal now with. Okay, so the first thing he said, Oir lifnei haderso. So basically he said that you're allowed to put the Shechta, the animal, on Yom Tov, you can take the skin, put it out in the front, so people will stand on it. So the Gemara says, Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah. Tanina bebas nisin. It says in the Mishnah. What says in the Mishnah? Ubeis Hillel aimrim, ubeis Hillel matirim. Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. They permit. What do we care about? What do we learn out from Ula? Ula said, it says so in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Mao de Tema, that you might think Tamayu de Beisilel Mishum de Chozi Limizge Alayu. Why does Beisilel say that it's okay? It's because you can lay on them, that skin, that's like a carpet, sit on it and be on it. Vafilu merev yontev nami. So then, maybe, even if you skinned the animal from before yontev, and you had an opportunity to put out for yontev, should still be allowed to do it, because we're only allowing you because it's a spread. So what do we care? It's not because you need to do it on Yontif. That's why a person may make a mistake. So maybe you would think you're still allowed to. Beis Hillel just says you can put it out, but we don't know why. So that's why Kamash Malon. So that's why Ula comes to teach us. The only reason why they allow you to spread it out, why the Chachamim, why Beis Hillel allowed to spread it out, is because the beginning, because they want you to go shech the animal. So they will also allow you to spread it out. And therefore, the Yom Tov, yes, because they want you to shech, but the Erev Yom Tov, no, you should have done it before. They're not going to allow you. Okay. The next question is on this second case. It says, the second case was that the boards that close up their store, which they put up the merchandise, you're allowed to close it up after they finish selling their goods on Yom Tov, but the people need for the Eichel Nefesh. So the Gemara says, Teresa Chanias Namitanino. We learned that as well. Because it says in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel Matirinach Lahachzir. It says very clearly that Beis Hillel allows even to return. Tanino, Zokt Rashi, B'masnisin. It says, Beis Hillel Matirin Af Lahachzir. That Beis Hillel allow even to return Karsino. So it says that they're allowed to even return. So why does Ula have to tell us this then? What do we learn from Ula? And the Gemara says, Ma'u de Teimo, Tamayu de Besilel, Mishum dein Binyan Bekelim, Ve'ein Stira Bekelim. Ma'filu de Batim Nami. Maybe the principle that Beis Hillel allows it because they are of the opinion that there is no such a thing as building when it talks about vessels, and there is no such a thing as breaking when we talk about vessels. Here we're talking about a movable thing. It's not stationary. It's not connected to the ground. It's like a cart. They used to sell stuff on a cart, you know, a wheel. Sometimes they have these bicycles with these carts. They would have, that was their store, and they would take off one of the panels and they would sell and they would put it back. So one can think that the reasoning for Beis Hillel, there's no building in vessels, there's no breaking apart in vessels. And therefore, afilu debotim nami, even in the houses also. What does that mean? So let's do the Rashi. Ain binyan bekelim, zokt Rashi. Ain iser binyan ustira bekelim. There is no an iser. There's no building or taking apart the kelim. The whole building issue doesn't apply to kelim. If it's not attached to the ground, there's no iser binyan ustira bekelim. Elo. Bebotim. Only in houses. If you're building a house, structure connected to the ground, that's where there is a binyan. So, the nechayiv bebinyan koldu. Only in a house that we would be obligating in just any building. So why is one not allowed to make a vessel or completing a vessel not on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos? If there is no structure, Rashi is trying to say, we know that you can't work, you can't build a keli, you can't build things on Yalta, but you say if it's not stationary, then you're not really building anything, right? So why, if one makes a keli or completes it on Yontav or on Shabbos, the reason is your asur is mishumake bepatishudim chayiv. That is another obligation. It's not for the building, it's for the bang of the hammer. That's the last, that's a melacha of Shabbos, one of the 39 melachas is the final bang when they get a keli ready. The final bang is the makeh bepatish. That's the prohibition. Shehu chiyuv l'chol gemar melacha. That would be obligation for any type of melacha to complete it. So that would be why you can't make a keli on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Or another reason when you can't make a keli. O'imu dovor shehu machlikoi. If it's something which he smoothed out, so then it's chayiv memshum machik. Then you would be liable because you're like erasing, which also you're not allowed to do because you're smoothing it out. Bim tzorich kitzua, if it requires cutting down, then it's chayiv memshum machatech for cutting. B'chein oireg, same thing is you're weaving a masach, a covering, a toifer, a sewing. These would be all the various melachas that a person would be chayiv. That's why you can't make a keli. Avol binyan ustira lo shayich bu leachiyuvi besiluk vechazora. But building and breaking doesn't apply to the kelim to obligate you when you remove it and you put it back. So the ho de tenan haboina kol shehu. This that we say in the Mishnah that in Shabbos, if you build any amount, there's a perik of kuvbeis perik haboina. We say any amount you build, but any amount, one would think maybe it means a vessel. No. He says, Bebotim Tanan. That's talking about houses. So, Behilkoch, this is what Rashi said before. Ein Isur Binyam Vestidu Bekelim. Ela Bebotim, the Nechai Binyam Koldu is from this Mishnah later on that it's only a Kol Bebotim. Behilkoch. Beis Hillel afilu betevois habayis, and therefore Beis Hillel, even those boxes that are in the house, the box is not the one that the carts that they're selling in the street. Shoru lesalik lesiseyem ulahzir, he would allow you to remove the doors and to bring back. And ba'afal gav, the lav lesimchas Yom Tov. And even though it's not for Simchas Yom Tov, Kamash Malon Ulo, so Ulo teaches us the Afal Gav the Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kelim. Even though Kelim don't have a Binyan V'Stira, Ka'asir Le Beisila Midrabonon, Beisila would prohibit it Midrabonon. In Lav Mishum Tchiloson, if it had not been for the beginning, the Chanuyos Shein Tzorchei Rabim, Shein Tzorchei Rabim. In only if they do tzocharabim avotrisik lehabayis loy, but vessels in the house the trisim you're not allowed to. So he is trying to tell you, don't think that there's just no, you can just do whatever you want when it comes to kelim, because there's no binyan and kelim at all. He said no, the rabbanon don't allow binyan and kelim either. The only reason they allowed it by the trisim is because of the and because of the tchila, because we want people to go ahead and sell, it's tzorchei rabim. Avotrisik lehabayis loy, but not just in your home. Kamash malon itiru sefer mishum tchilosom. That's why he teaches us ula the chanuyis ein the batim loy. Only in the stores which means where it's needed for the other people, but not in the and not in the house. It's not allowed. The next thing they said, Ula said, Chazoras Ritiyo b'migdosh namitanina. He said that you can bring back a bandage on your wound in the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohen so that he can work his work without the bandage. He needs to work with his hands there. He can't have a chatzitza. So he removes his bandage. He can bring it back. So the Gemara says to return back a bandage in the Mikdash, namitinina. Dinor be'eruvin. We're learning more eruvin. That you could bring back that bandage in the Mikdash, not in the outside the Beis HaMikdash, so that he can do the Avodah. So what was Ula Machadash here? Machzir Ritiyah B'Mikdash Avodah B'Medina. So what was he Machadash? What was Ula telling us? What is the chiddush that Ula is telling us? And the Gemara says, Ma'u the time. Because you might think, time of my, Mishum the Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. You might think that the reason why you're allowed to do it is because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, meaning, since it's a Isum Midrabanon, this whole bandage thing is midrabanon to put it back. And in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't apply Isurim midrabanon. So therefore, the Kohen is allowed to put it back afterwards. So that's why we're allowed to do it. And therefore, somebody who's not serving could also do it, because there's just no problem in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why he tells you, Ma'u the tema time of the tena mishum legozer ala shvus shabimikdosh. Because they didn't make a decree on a shvus midraban imikdosh. Vilikshar tiyo v'chein kol dvar refuosh ein meloch ala shvusu. To tie a bandage and any other item which is not a melocha, but a shvus, who shegozer chachamim b'chol gzeira gzeira refuos gzeirim shum shchikas samonim. Chachamim don't allow to make any medicine because of a decree. Maybe you might come to grind the spices, the different things that you use for a medicine, so they don't allow you to do it. Oh, so in the Beis HaMikdash, where there is no shvus because chachamim did not apply their gzeiris midrabon in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, there's no applicable afilu koyin de la baravaydu. So that would be even a koyin who's not an avaydu. Kamash melon. So that's why he comes to teach us that he tiru seifa mishun chilosim. So that's why he's teaching you, no. The only reason we're allowing it to you over here is he tiru seifa mishun chilosim. Therefore, the bar avoda in for him, he needs to do the avoda. We allow it. La bar avoda loy, one who is not a bar avoda, we don't allow it. And I guess even though ein shvus b'mikdash, but it's only if you're doing the avoda, but not if you're not doing avoda. The Gemara doesn't elaborate over here. Now the final case was what Rechava said. He said paseches chavisoy. That to open up the barrel, because namitinina, learn the chagiga. It says a peseches chavis avdiso maschil be isosei. That if you open up the barrel and you start your dough, I'll gav a regal on the back of the yontif. So what is the din? So Rav Yehuda Eimer Yigmer. Rav Yehuda says, let him conclude. Achachomim Eimerim lo Yigmer. He says he's going to finish. In other words, no tumah will come back to these items after Yontav. Chachamim said he should not finish. So we don't need to tell you that you're allowed to, according to Rav Yehuda, you can allow to, according to to finish, because it says already that you can finish. What do we need to know? What is we need to know? The reason. Mahu the tema? Because you might think tuma sama oretz beregel kitahira shavu rabbanon. The Chachamim made it as its Torah, which means it's at that point it's like Tara. Das machu akro, the word of the Chachamim lean it, it's with Rabbanon, but they leaned it on the verse. It says ki ish echot chavedim, like one person friends, meaning everybody together. So betaimo the Rav Yehuda. And what's Rav Yehuda's reason that he says you can finish? Is Mishum Delay Hadra Chayla, it can rest again. Once you've taken it away, you can't bring it back. Even though he didn't start on the back of the Yontov to sell it because of Yontov. And it happened that Amoris touched the Yontov. You would say, "Come in, Rabbi Yehuda, the Ema Goy Metama." I feel like a regal. He would tell you that also after Yontov, it's not going to be Metama. Because you're going to say, it doesn't apply. He holds it doesn't extend to further on. But you don't have to only start it. Anything you touch doesn't apply because a Yontov, we don't apply to them. Kamash Malon, Rechavo, Deshum Dit Chilosim, it's only Chilosim. Avogab, the Gemara says. Even when it didn't start, that the reason is only because he started they let the end because of the beginning. So hischil aim, lo hischil oy. Okay.
So then they shouldn't have started?
I'm sorry?
So what does that mean? They shouldn't have
even done the shirt? No, that only because they started already, they opened up the barrel, did they allow them to later on after Yontov. But if he didn't start it and he just touched it, then he didn't allow. It doesn't apply to them. Because he didn't want them not to open up the barrels. But if he didn't open up the barrels, there's no gezeira. Well, they want him to sell for Yontov so that he should be supplying, so people should have it to buy. But if he didn't open the barrel, happened that somebody touched it, we're not going to allow them to use it after Yontov. Because that's not the reason.
According to Chachamim, that doesn't apply because they say you can't sell it after Yontov. That's gonna make the guy not want to open the barrel.
Yeah, well, that's true, because they're gonna not be able to sell. I mean, you can sell it to an Amoritz, you can sell it, yeah, you lose. For that barrel, you lose it out. But apparently, they won't worry about it. So this Gemara says, Takeb, Ula, my time, Elomarho. Ula said three, why didn't he say this one? And the Gemara says, Beplukta lekamayri, he didn't want to talk about a machloikis. Beplukta lekamayri, but pligi Rabbanon, the Rabbanon don't agree that you can do it after Yontov because of Yontov, right? So he doesn't want to talk in the cases where there's a dissent. These are also machloikas because Beis Shammai disagrees with Beis Hillel. He doesn't allow the other ones either. And the Gemara answers, Beis Shammai mokem Beis Hillel in a Mishnah. Beis Shammai, and where Beis Hillel is not a Mishnah, and therefore he doesn't have to, he's not worried about that. And he doesn't, that can bring that down. So Ula brings down only three cases, which even though Beis Shammai dissents, but Beis Hillel is the main, doesn't bring down the case that the Rechava brings down, because over there is a machlokes from the Breyer area.